Is.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. And then I've got a bunch of stuff I got to do around here today. Then I'm doing a ghost hunt tonight. Then I'm doing spooky sandwich tomorrow night. So there's what we did is because we had to shut down ticket sales for the Daniel Webster Inn to have a count for dinner the other day. We said, you know what? There's still people that are going to wait till the last minute. There's still people that are expressing that they want to go. There's still people that are saying they want to take part, but they don't want to go to dinner. So we put up a ticket that's less money than the original price. Basically, we just took off the cost of what the dinner is, and you'll meet us there at 7 instead of at 5 because we'll already be done with dinner by then. And so you can get that from tinyurl.com/spookysandwich or from the Sandwich Chamber of Commerce website. So... now, this is a ticketed event because it's a ghost hunt. It's something that they're putting on that they've brought me in to run. The library presentations that I'll be doing next week in Millicent Library in Fairhaven and for the Freetown Library, but in the Freetown Police Community Room, those are completely free to attend. So if that's something that you want to take part in, no charge. Sometimes these libraries do require like a pre-registration, but neither one of those are requiring one as far as I know. So we've got some other, you know, I like to bring you the stories, the news stories that are kind of like, what? Huh? What? I sound like a Kristen Wiig SNL character. Grr! Anyway, but there are some stories like that, that every once in a while you say, oh, what is this all about? And that's a story that comes out of Nashua, New Hampshire from WCVB. A man on a bike is accused of riding by women, slapping them from behind, and then riding away. The Nashua Police Department said on Wednesday afternoon, officers responded to Mine Falls Park for the report of a man physically assaulting women on the trails. Police say there have been 5 reported incidents in the last several days, which means there's probably more that haven't been reported. Someone has just been slapping them on the back, pulling on hoods and things like that, Sergeant John Sinelli of the Nashua Police said. The man has been riding a mountain bike on the trail, and as he passes the women, he is slapping them from behind and riding away. He's about 30 years old, 5 feet 11, wearing all black clothing and a white N95 face mask. No one has been hurt, but police are investigating the incidents. They're asking anybody who is using Mine Falls Park to travel with a companion for safety and to use caution. What a weird thing to do. First of all, keep your hands to yourself. But pulling on their hoods and slapping them on the back? My guess. See, if he had been older than 30 years old, I would have been like, this is some kind of like challenge. Like some sort of TikTok challenge to say, how many people can you slap on the back riding by them on a bike? You know, there's all these dumb things that pop up on social media. And I would have thought it'd be something like that, which is still wrong, but, you know, relatively innocent. Like if the idea is to see how many people you can tap on the shoulder and get them to turn around, you know, like something like that, something dumb, but it doesn't really hurt anybody. But this is just weird. And not that you want it to be a more aggressive touching than just slapping somebody on the back, but you would think that if somebody was going through all that trouble, it would be something like that, not just, I'm going to tug on their hood. What? That's why I think there's got to be more to the story of it just being like some dumb challenge thing. And then here's a bit of a news story that I'm having a hard time believing. Police, also from WCVB. Police in Boston are trying to identify a man they say used hot coffee as a weapon during an assault on a Lyft driver and a woman at a Roxbury Dunkin' last month. Boston police said the assault happened September 28th around 8:50 in the morning. Police said the man ordered a ride with Lyft and at the end and to be picked up from outside the police station on Washington Street. But according to a police report, the driver said before he even got there, the man was arguing and swearing, so he canceled the ride. He then went to Dunkin' to get a hot coffee. The man followed the driver into the store, knocked the coffee out of the driver's hand, and punched him twice in the face. A customer standing in line was also burned by the coffee. The man was described by police as having a beard and wearing a black sweatshirt, tan pants, and was carrying a black backpack and a helmet. The man faces a charge of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, which was the hot coffee. So here's where I'm having trouble believing this story. I don't have a problem believing that somebody would have rage like this and act like this. We see that happen far too often. The part of the story I'm having trouble believing is that somebody was actually burned by a cup of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts or Dunkin', because it's never hot enough to burn anybody. It's the only coffee I know that when I buy it, I can pop the lid and start sipping it right away. So I don't think that the coffee was hot enough to do any damage. Come on, we're talking a Dunkin' coffee here. It wasn't like it was a McDonald's coffee where people have been sued over how hot it is. Of course, I'm being somewhat facetious. But really, when was the last time that you had a burning hot cup of coffee from Dunkin'? I have my little theory about it, my conspiracy theory, if you will, is that they want the coffee to be at a temperature in which you can start drinking it right away for two reasons. One, you want it, so you want to start drinking it, you don't want to wait. And two, the faster it gets cold, the faster you're going to go get another coffee. Or the faster you can drink it, the faster you're going to go get another coffee. So if you start drinking it and it gets cold, you know, 10 minutes later, you might go get another coffee. Or if it's at a temperature where you can start drinking it right away, you're not going to let it sit on your desk and wait 2 or 3 hours before you go and drink it. Now, it takes me all day to get through a Dunkin' coffee. But I know other people that go 3 times a day. My aunt does not make coffee at home. She would make her kids, well, I don't know if she made them, but the kids would go for her at night. When she lived in Halifax, they didn't have a Dunkin' near her. They had to drive 20 minutes into Middleborough to get a coffee. Then she got three or four, but it was a tray of coffees. And they would bring those back every night, and then she would just leave them on the counter and heat them up in the microwave when she wanted them. And we tried to tell her, like, we'll just get you a coffee machine and we'll buy you Dunkin' coffee and you can just make Dunkin' coffee. Nope, wasn't the same. People get quirky about their coffee. You have people that won't go to a Dunkin' or Starbucks or any chain. They want to have, you know, homemade, locally made coffee. You have people that will only go to Starbucks, only go to Dunkin', only go to Mirasol's. Only go to the Nook. Only go to Mary Lou's. They'll drive to go to Mary Lou's. I also like Aroma Joe's. There's none of those. You got to go to Raynham to get an Aroma Joe's. I think there's one in, Swansea or Somerset? One of the S-towns, too. But I also get quirky about the coffee I make at home. I've got a Keurig. I've got an espresso. I make coffee in a French press with beans that I grinded myself that are apparently these fancy beans that my friend gave me. That, like, now I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be able to afford these beans myself now. You've got me on them. I went to their house and visited them over the summer, stayed overnight at their house, and they made me coffee from their insane coffee machine, this like $1,500 coffee machine. I was like, ah, you got me really considering spending $1,500 on a coffee machine for myself, and I'm only home 2 mornings a week. And out of those 2 mornings, I probably only make coffee one of those mornings. But that's how people get about it. I'm sure you've got a particular way. This morning I'm trying this because we have a Keurig machine here. I brought in some K-cups I got that are the Starbucks Fall Blend. And I'm not really that impressed. It's a little bitter. It's a little too strong on the hints of plum. But I use all Starbucks in my Nespresso. The espresso, the coffee, so good. So, you know, it all depends on how I feel when I wake up. Some days I say, I'm just going to go to Dunkin' and get a pumpkin spice coffee. Some days I say, I'm going to make one. But other people have to be habitual about it, routine. But don't throw your coffee in somebody's face. That is assault. Whether it's hot or not, don't throw coffee in their face. 508-996-0500. We were also talking about the email that I got from the Warren campaign last night that went out to all the media, calling for John Deaton to drop out of the race because he said that he would if Liz Warren could prove that he said he preferred Trump over Biden. And she came out with the receipts, as she called them, but it was really just a tweet that he had put out last year that was, you know, kind of, I thought it was a pretty good argument that he was making in why he was saying the things that he was saying. And she was trying to turn it around, trying to use it against him. And I think that that shows that she knows that he might be resonating with people who are even Democrats, but just a little bit more to the center. I mean, first of all, he's running as a Republican. So I think people would naturally assume that he would be voting for Trump over, in this case, Kamala Harris. So I don't know that it's the gotcha thing that you think that it is. Say, see, he likes Trump. But I also think that she's just looking to try to make a headline here. You can tell by the way that the email came out. And Deaton says he's going to drop out of the race. ... Although there were no ellipses, it just got cut off in my alert. But I think that this is creating at least some drama around a race that a lot of people felt didn't have any. I mentioned the WCVB poll that said, you know, she was coming in at almost three times as many votes as he was. No, I think it was twice. I think it was double the votes, but still, you know, it was going to be an easy win for her based on their polling. But I don't know. We got some time. We got a couple of weeks. They've had two debates. He's got a chance to get his message out there a little bit more. You've heard him here on WBSM with Chris. I think he could make a strong showing. And even if he doesn't win, he could be a guy that remains in the mix. And I'm not against Republicans. I voted for Republicans in the past. I'm against Trump Republicans. And I'm against the blind loyalty that they have because they're more worried about saving their own political butts than they are about actually doing anything for the people. So I think he could be a guy that appeals to a wide base of people in Massachusetts. People were mentioning that to me after they heard him on with Chris. They said, this guy's got a future. It might not be now, but it could be the next time. There's a, you know, he could be the person that takes the place of Ed Markey if he decides not to run again. So it'll be an interesting race to follow. It might not have the intrigue at the end, but it might have some repercussions in the future. 508-996-0500. You can use the app chat. You can use the open line voicemail. It may be a little chilly now, but we're going to get into the 60s today, and that's only going to keep rising for the next couple of days. So bring your sweater, bring your light jacket, bring your hoodie. But you might be able to take it off a little bit later on. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. See, I kind of threw you off. You heard that, you know, kind of that rocking guitar at the beginning. You're like, ooh, what's this? And then you're like, oh, it's New Kids on the Block. I forgot about that song. Right. But I didn't. I never forgot about Cover Girl. That was one of my favorite New Kids songs back in the day. Because it had edge. Kind of. Because of that guitar. Anyway, 508-996-0500. So we've got plenty of more things that we can discuss. Coming up after the news. At 508-996-0500. We can talk about the fact that the Rhode Island Police Union is looking for an apology, a public apology from Christian Barmore. The Patriots player who accused officers of racism during a recent traffic stop. He pulled down the tweet that he had put out calling it racism, but now they're asking him to equally publicly denounce his original comments. So we can get into that. We can also get into that story Phil shared with you and may mention again. I don't know what he's going to talk about in this newscast, but with a Massachusetts restaurant that was forced to close temporarily because of threats made against its workers because there were reenactors dining there the other day in World War II Nazi uniforms. And that falls under two levels of ridiculous to me. One, people are getting a little bit ridiculous about what was happening. And two, it was ridiculous for the reenactors to go into the restaurant wearing those uniforms to begin with. They knew what they were doing. I'm not saying that they're Nazis, but they had to have known, out of the context of the World War II reenactment, wearing those uniforms was not going to sit well with people. So you did it because you knew you were going to get attention for it. Now, maybe that attention was to have people come up to you and say, oh, what are you, some kind of Nazi? And you could say, no, actually, I'm a World War II reenactor. Oh, really? I didn't know that they did that. Where were they doing that? Oh, well, you know what? Next time I'll have to go check that out. That sounds very interesting. Living history, a chance to learn. Thank you. So maybe that had been their intention, but you had to know what the end result was going to be of going into a restaurant wearing a Nazi uniform. And also, I get needing to be historical. You know, I like historical reenactments. I think that they're cool. I think that they're interesting. But I would also question, who wants to play the Nazi? Like, can't we just accept that you could come up with some kind of imagery? You don't have to be historically accurate if that historical accuracy is perpetrating the garbage that the Nazi Party stood for, right? Couldn't we just do like they used to do in some movies and just make them kind of a Nazi-looking uniform that doesn't actually utilize the same symbology? Oh, well, then it won't be historically accurate. Yeah, but it also won't piss off people that are eating in a restaurant either. Nah, we can get into all that. But right now, Phil's waiting to do the news. So take it away, Phil Devitt.
The leader of Hamas is dead, but war rages on. A veteran outraged over a wardrobe request on a Delta flight. And time for Smile to shine at the box office.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hopes for a ceasefire in the Middle East are coming to an end as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to press on with the wars in Gaza and Lebanon. This after President Biden said Thursday that now was a good time for a Gaza ceasefire following the killing of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar a day earlier. With Election Day less than 3 weeks away, former President Trump will hold a rally in downtown Detroit today. Vice President Harris will also be in Michigan campaigning in Oakland County. Trump has insulted Detroit twice in the past few weeks, saying before the Detroit Economic Club last week that if Harris is elected, the entire country will be like Detroit. In Chicago this week, he called Detroit a, quote, horrible city. A Marine Corps veteran says she was humiliated after getting kicked off a Delta Airlines flight because of a T-shirt she was wearing. Catherine Banks was planning to fly out of San Francisco on Wednesday to visit her sister, also a veteran, when a flight attendant told her her shirt was threatening.
And he said, I don't care about your service and I don't care about her service. That shirt you're wearing, the only way you're going to get back on the plane is you take it off right now.
The shirt read, do not give in to the war within, end veteran suicide. Banks said she had to take off the shirt and put on a sweatshirt. Eventually, she was let back onto the plane, which was delayed, causing her to miss her connecting flight. Delta has not yet responded. Former One Direction singer Liam Payne's cause of death is said to have been multiple trauma and internal and external hemorrhage. Payne died at the age of 31 on Wednesday after falling from his hotel balcony in Argentina. In a statement released on Thursday, his family said, quote, Liam will forever live in our hearts and we'll remember him for his kind, funny, and brave soul. It's not yet known if the fall was intentional or an accident. Gospel icon and the mother of the late superstar Whitney Houston, Sissy Houston, was remembered yesterday at her hometown church in Newark, New Jersey. Dionne Warwick, Darlene Love, and B.B. Winans joined a massive choir at New Hope Baptist Church. The same church hosted Whitney Houston's funeral a decade ago. Sissy Houston passed away earlier this month at the age of 91.
Something really crazy is happening to me. I need to stop it.
The sequel to the hit horror film Smile is expected to get off to what could be called a scary good start at the box office. Smile 2 is projected to bring in between $20 and $25 million in its first weekend in theaters. Back in 2022, Smile made over $22 million in its debut. The film follows a pop singer who starts to see disturbing events happening in front of her as she heads out on tour.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins in Salt Lake City on Saturday night to play the Utah Hockey Club. New England Patriots headed to London to play the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. And the Boston Celtics open their season at TD Garden with the New York Knicks on Tuesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and breezy for your Friday. A high of 61 degrees on the South Coast. Warming trend continues. A sunny weekend ahead with highs climbing to 68 on Saturday, 72 on Sunday, and kicking off the week on Monday with a high of 74. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. So I was mentioning that story. So the restaurant in Hudson is called Kith and Kin. And a group of historians from the American Heritage Museum went there to have dinner Saturday night. The restaurant said four were dressed as American soldiers, one as a military nurse, and two were dressed as SS soldiers. So they're in their Nazi uniforms going into the restaurant. And the restaurant posted an apology on Facebook on Sunday. They said, in hindsight, they should have been asked to change before being seated. Even though we knew that they were living historians, at a time when acts of anti-Semitic violence continue to rise, we should have realized other diners might not be aware of the local World War II reenactment. We would never intentionally do anything to offend or hurt anyone in the community. If we truly thought these individuals held anti-Semitic beliefs, we would never have allowed them to step foot in the restaurant. As a small, family-owned business, we strive every day to do our best and continue to learn and grow. Last night, we fell short, and we deeply apologize. Now, they closed on Tuesday because they were receiving threats, which I think is also taking this to an extreme level, because why would you threaten the restaurant? The restaurant is just serving people. They walked in wearing shirts, wearing shoes. So really, the restaurant didn't have any grounds to throw them out. And as they said, they knew that they were historical reenactors, so it didn't register in their minds, oh, wait a minute, people might get offended by this, which, I don't know. It was probably busy. They probably had other things that they were focused on a Saturday night, and didn't realize till after the fact, like, oh, wait, look at how everybody's looking at them. Oh, this might be a problem. That's entirely possible and reasonable. The museum said it's not appropriate to wear the uniforms outside of an historical or educational context. And I think that the reenactors know that. I think that the reenactors should have been proactive and at least, if not changed, you know, maybe turn the jacket inside out or put something else over it or done something. I don't know about you, but first of all, I wouldn't be comfortable being the Nazi reenactor. I'd be like, no thanks. But I also realize not everybody can be the allies in a World War II reenactment. But also, if I was the person who said, okay, I guess I'll be the Nazi because somebody has to be, I would also be very cognizant of the fact that I did not want to wear that uniform any longer than I had to. I would be wearing it at the, you know, I'd be putting it on right before the start of the reenactment, and I'd be taking it off the minute it was over. Because I personally find what it stands for reprehensible. Which is why I wouldn't want to do it in the first place, but if I had to, I would definitely be taking it off the first moment I could, and I definitely would not be wearing it out in public. And to all the people who say, you know, hey, it's part of history. You can't run from history. You can't hide from it. Well, you also don't have to wear it into a restaurant either. And let me ask you, if the person who killed your great-grandparents walked into the same restaurant where you were eating, wouldn't you want to get up and leave? Wouldn't you be like, I can't believe that person is here. I've lost my appetite now looking at the person that killed my great-grandparents. That's what the Nazis did to a lot of people. They killed their great-grandparents. So why would you want to sit and have dinner in the same vicinity as somebody who is promoting that? Granted, it wasn't them, but if it stands for what it was that they did. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. There's a place up in Hudson, Mass. Called the Collins American Heritage Museum, and they have this aviation piece where they're, you know, obviously a museum of aviation, but they also put on a reenactment, a World War II reenactment. I went there like 5 years ago. It was actually unbelievably realistic because they set up very early, and then you can walk through the different camps. So there's an American camp on one side, and then you can walk across this big field, and there's a German camp on the other side. And right down to the rolled cigarettes and the handwritten letters, you know, to home. And I mean, it's really an amazing setup. It's sort of a reflection of history. But you know, when you're walking into a place like that, or you're walking into a museum and you're seeing a uniform hung up, that.
Oh, I think we lost you there, Steve. Hello? All right. Well, nope, there you are. I hear you now.
Yeah, hey, sorry.
You said know that when you walk into a museum, and then we lost you.
Yeah, well, when you go to those places, you know, it's not a promotion of what happened. It's a statement of history. Going to the reenactment was the same thing. But when those guys walk into a restaurant with those clothes on, those people don't know that, number one. Number two is the Nazi symbol is a symbol of oppression and death that is very clearly traumatizing, especially to Jews, to some Americans. And, that's completely wrong. They may have assumed a lot going in, but it's like using the N-word in conversation. It's an oppressive word that we don't use for a reason. You leave it out of the average lexicon. It's as wrong as calling Donald Trump a Nazi, because in all shape and form, he's not a Nazi. It's a trope that people like to use to make themselves feel good or end an argument or whatever. But the fact is, he's not a Nazi, and using those words and those symbols in those ways in average, you know, dialogue and context is wrong. And those two people that walked in there, I don't really get what's in their head, but if I were there, I'd say, just take the stuff off, dude. No one is going to understand what you're doing. And it's not appropriate at all.
Right. I don't know anything about these people, but I'd like to make the assumption that they don't stand for those values, but that they must have known that walking in there with that uniform, because how do you put that uniform on and not know the weight of what that carries when people see it?
You have to. I mean, at this reenactment, which is, I would encourage people to go. It was really awesome. The Americans did win, by the way. But they did have kids, dressed, you know, that were there because, that were dressed in period clothing, not wearing Nazi uniform, things and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously there were parents that were involved in the reenactment, and their young kids wanted to be involved. So on the American side, you had some 14 and 15 year olds dressed in, you know, army gear, but you're like, well, they really wouldn't have been 14 year olds on the battlefield necessarily. You just know that when you're walking into a scenario like that, you're watching a reenactment. It's not, they're not putting politics behind it. They're not trying to promote it. It was an amazing thing, cause they had a V2 rocket there. They had a lot. I'm like, where did all this stuff come from?
Yeah.
I mean, they actually had tanks buried in the woods, and you didn't know until the tanks needed to come out of the woods, and then they came tearing through the woods, and you're like, holy cow. It was a pretty amazing reenactment, but.
Well, thank you for the insight. Maybe I'll have to get up there sometime when next time they're doing it.
Yeah, Collins Museum in Hudson, Mass. I think it is. They put on a reenactment every fall for sure, including airplanes. By the way, they have airplanes that fly over, as part of it. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing. Thank you. You have a good weekend.
You too.
And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500. But let me take this break right now. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, and you're going to have to face it. You're addicted to sun, right? The sun is coming out here. It's bright and shining over the parking lot outside of the WBSM studio, and you can make the sun work for you. You can make it help you save money, right? Not only is the sun right now with all these solar storms, solar flares, helping us see things like the Aurora Borealis, but you could be utilizing and harnessing the power of the sun to save yourself money with the investment of going solar. And you can go solar by putting panels on your roof, by putting panels in your yard, by putting panels in the far back of your property. You can put them anywhere, really, but what you can also do is you can incorporate them into your home and into your yard by having something like a carport built that has solar capability. So basically what it is it's solar panels that are out there collecting that solar energy, but also protecting your vehicle. Or you can build a solar pavilion where you can get some much needed shade out there during the nice summery and spring months. So you're out there enjoying the outdoor weather without the sun shining in your face, but it's shining on those panels, collecting that solar power. How does it all work? What does it look like? Would it be a good fit for your home? Well, the best way to find out is to go to Isaacson Solar's Facebook page and see some of these in action. You can also go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, and schedule an appointment for them to come out and talk to you about going solar. They will answer all of your questions with simple, honest, direct answers and will help you decide if going solar is right for your family. And if it is, they'll give you a free no-obligation quote. You can talk it over with the family. If you decide to go forward, great. If not, that's okay too. So all you have to do is go to their website, Isaacson Solar, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and their Facebook page to learn more. All right, let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg. How are you today? This is Anthony Puente from the fire department.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good. I will be quick. Last week, after I was listening to us talk on the iPod, the playback, I failed to let the listeners know that the Underwriter Laboratories is what we're looking for approval for our extension cords.
Okay, Underwriter Laboratories. That's the see the UL on the little silver tag.
You got it. And you mentioned the tag, but I failed to give the name. But we work together well. If it's possible, just a quick reminder for tomorrow's open house.
Yes, please.
At the public safety building down on Brock Ave. That's 912 Brock Avenue tomorrow from 1 to 4. We have Leach Auto Body, who has donated a car for us to cut up at 2 o'clock. We have chicken nuggets from Cold Surf and Turf. We have pizza from Domino's, hot chocolate, and munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts. The police will also be there. EMS, you can go in an actual ambulance. Our dog officer will be there. Manny Maceo, the chief, will be there with several of his animals that he has. And if Mary wants to come by, I will gladly serve her personally a slice of pizza.
She might just now. So again, you said that's at the South End Public Safety Center on Brock Avenue. What time again?
From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then 3:30 to 4 will be sensory time for our students who are on the spectrum who do not appreciate lights and sirens.
Excellent, excellent. And I've been down there. I've toured through that facility. It's a great facility. And this is a great chance to kind of see behind the scenes of all that.
Right. And I'll actually bring you behind the scenes. I'll take you upstairs to our kitchen.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm going to be downstairs shoving nuggets in my face, too. So there's that.
That'll be fine. Not a problem. And Sparky will be there, so there'll be pictures to take with Sparky. He's going to be taking a bath today, and he'll be ready for tomorrow.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Firefighter Anthony, for checking in and letting us know.
No problem. Have a safe day.
You as well. And yeah. I got to take one more break here. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to hang up anything. I got to take one more break here before the end of this hour. Let me get that done. We'll be back in just a few moments. That's conservatism at its finest, but it's also radio at its finest. Because in this business, we never know if we're going to get another meal. So take the free one while you can, that's for sure. All right, well, everybody out there, have a great week.